Yeesh, it's chilly in here. It's cold. Good morning. Are you happy? Are you? Good. I'm glad to know that. So we've been talking about membership, talking about lots of things. We hit the first component of membership last week, and before that, we hit a different component, and it was really talking about being a member of God's entire family, the bigger church of God. And really what we are looking for before you can do anything at our church, really, before you can serve, before you just really get intact with what's going on here, what we are looking for is for you to have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Placing all your faith in what He did on the cross and in the power of His resurrection that gives us hope of eternal life, and you have followed in believers' baptism. So that is really the first step in all of this, and that's just kind of out there in your face really quick, but that's the first step. That's what we want to know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt of anything else. So really, before this series continues on, if you have questions about that, our office doors are always open. We are open at 9 if you want to just call us up, and we'll come to your house and sit and talk, and you can ask questions and work through these things, because we want you to be confident that you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. We're not looking for people, well, I hope it's okay, or I think I've done it. We want you to know that you know. And you actually can know that you really know that Jesus died for you and that He is a part of your life and that you have given everything over to Him. So really, that's the first step in all of this. And so the first statement is, having received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and having been baptized as a believer by immersion, I commit myself to God and the other members of the Townsend Church family to do the following. And the five things that we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks are not things that are extra. This is not like, because we're Free Will Baptists, you got to do it this way. You can forget all that stuff. What we're looking at is, in Scripture, what does Scripture say that believers should be doing? And those are the things that we're looking for. Now, obviously, if we took the time to go through the entire book and find all the things, that it would be more than just five. But these are, to us as a leadership team, these are the top five that kind of encompass the entire Christian life as a whole. So whether you want to be a part of our church or not as a member, these are things that you as a believer in Christ should actually be doing in your life as it is. And so we're just looking that if you want to be a part of our church, that you are really committed to doing these next five things. Last week we talked about the first thing, and it was this, that we talked about having a proper focus that encourages active participation. And so the first tenet of what we're looking for in membership, besides having a relationship with God, once that's settled, here's the first thing, that I will actively participate in the activities of the church. And that doesn't mean just come on Sunday mornings and on Wednesday night. That means any opportunity that you have to be a part of something that's going on in our church, go do it. Now listen, I'm very well aware that we are busy, busy people. I get that. I myself find myself getting way too busy. Our kids are all over the place doing all types of activities. My wife has her own little projects going on. I've got my own little projects going on. And so we kind of find ourselves just being spread out very, very thin and very, very wide. And so it becomes the question of, okay, well, I have these things and this is going on at the church. Which one's going to win out? Which one's more important? And sometimes there are things that are kind of important we got to go do, but sometimes church is always the last resort. And what I want to see for us is that church is not the last resort. And I realize that some of you are thinking, well, if you have better programs and better things to do, we might come. I get that. I understand that. And we are working very hard to make sure that everything we do here is quality. That it's not a waste of time. That when you come, you're going to get something. You're going to go away. You're going to be challenged and encouraged. That's what we want to do. But here's the thing. Whether it's good or not, you ought to be here. And if you don't think it's good, help us make it better. That's what active participation is. Not actively sitting back grumbling and complaining about it, but saying, well, I could help that make that a little bit better. So active participation is not just coming and sitting on Sunday morning, but it's being involved in our kids' programs. It's being involved in Upward. It's being involved in the Usher program. It's being involved. It's actively pursuing. We have go groups that have started. Now, some of you are thinking, well, I haven't been asked to be in a go group. That's because we didn't advertise it. These are groups of people that got together on their own and say, we want to do life together. And so they formed a group. And so from that, we've bounced other groups off of it. And so if you want to be a part of a go group and actively participate in the activities of the church, let us know. We'll plug you in. But it's a process. And so One of the things that we want to see is not just Sunday morning worshipers. We want to see people that are actively involved in the community of our church as a community of believers. So this week we're going to talk about a little something different. But before we get to it, there's some disclaimers. Here's the first disclaimer. This is not a message or sermon just about tithing or giving. When I get to the title, some of you are going to think, well, he just wants our money. That is not what this sermon is just about. It's a small portion, I'm not going to lie, but it's not the main focus of what we're going after. Here's the second thing. And this, you got to take this for what it is. I don't mean it harshly, but God really doesn't need your money to accomplish his purposes. Most people have the understanding that churches only want your money. That's the only reason a pastor gets up there is he hounds on tithing. You got to give money. We got to have your money. Let me be real honest with you. If God wants to accomplish his purposes without you, he's going to. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't want it. But here's what he wants to do. He wants to open it up to you to be a part of what he's trying to do. So it's not just about your money, but God wants your talents. He wants you. He wants you to be involved in what's going on. And it does help, let's be honest, that you tithe. That's the only way that this place is going to go. And so the third step is this. Here's a disclaimer. The church exists because of three important factors: God, you, and your money. And see, that's so awkward to even say as the pastor, because, and it's probably awkward to hear, but let's be really honest. If you never tithe, if you stop tithing, are we going to be able to do what we do? Yes and no, it would be tricky. It would be really tricky because we got to pay the electric bill. You got to pay the oil bill. You don't have to pay me. We don't have to pay Tim. We don't have to pay Charlie. We don't have to pay that kind of stuff. But to have a building and for it to be warm and nice, it costs money. And so when you're looking at this, the first and foremost aspect that has to be here is we've got to have the Spirit of God here. It has to be here. Or really, it's pointless for us to be here. You've got to be here, or really the church doesn't exist. And with that said, unfortunately, the necessary evil that is a part of our church is you have to be able to pay the bills. So yes and no, this sermon is about money, but it's not all about money. And you're going to see that in just a minute. So here's our main thought for the day. Are y'all discouraged and disgusted enough that I've talked about that? Okay, good. So let's go forward. A proper focus encourages proper giving. A proper focus encourages proper giving. So if we go all the way back to the very first sermon where we talked about we have to have that relationship with God, that is where our proper focus comes from. If we properly focus and understand who God is and what he wants from us and what he wants to do in us, around us, and through us, and in this place and in our community, when we can get the proper focus, it's going to encourage us not only to actively participate, but to be comfortable and freely, generously giving of our stuff. Not just your money, and we're going to see that. And most of you sometimes will think, and we look at bigger churches and we think, well, pastor only preaches on tithing because he wants a new car, or he's behind on his mortgage, and so he needs extra cash. That is not the case here, I promise you. It's part of Scripture. It's where we're at. But I am far more interested in more than just your money. In fact, you can tithe or you can't tithe. That's up to you. That's between you and God. It's scriptural. I want you to do it, but that's between you and God. But I would much rather see you here. I would much rather see you involved. I would much rather see you actively participating in this, because when I see you doing that, I know that at some point you're going to get invested in it. Because it's not just about money. So there's three important T's that we have to consider. So we're going to look at three T's of what we're looking for from you as a potential member of our church. The first thing is this: we want your time. We are interested in you spending time, not only in your relationship with God, not only in your relationship with others, but spending the time here at this place being actively participating in it. You got to give your time. And let me tell you, most of you, some of you give a lot more time than others, and I appreciate that. And I can honestly say that we are very, very vigilant about making sure that we don't burn you out, that we don't get you involved in so many things that you just lose heart and quit. I am very overly, ridiculously protective of overusing volunteers. You can ask our team. I am very, very adamant about that. I don't want that. That's a misuse of people when it comes to volunteers in our church.
And so I want to be very careful. And so if you look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, I think it's interesting that the verse says this. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And when we are awake, we got to know, what are we doing? When your eyes are open and your energy, your blood's pumping and you're doing something, what are you doing? Are you just spinning wheels just to get through the day, to get back home, to get back in bed, to start the next day tomorrow? Or are you up redeeming the opportunity, the time that God has blessed you with for that day, to make an impact for Him and His kingdom? Now see, that's different than just talking about money. Because it's not just about that. When we talk about living actively for God, you have to give time to this. Again, this is not just a come in on Sunday morning, go to church, go to teach a Sunday school class or work with the teens or do your little handshake thing or whatever and then go home and you're done. This is an everyday waking moment for you. Paul says, redeem the time, meaning the moment you wake up, figure out what you can do for God right then for the rest of the day. Be open, be flexible, be a little bit fluid with what He wants to do in you. But every opportunity that we have, we should not be picky. We shouldn't let it slip by. We need to redeem the time. We've got to take advantage of what's going on. Because, why? The days are evil. Would you agree with that? Absolutely. These are horrendous days. I thought it was bad when I was growing up. I cringe to think what it's going to be when my children get to be my age. My prayer is God will come back and fix it all and we'll be good. Because I don't want my kids to have to go through even worse than what I'm dealing with now. It's not bad, but it's not great either. But it's only going to get worse. And so we got to redeem the time because the days are evil. When we are awake, we should be conscious of who God is, where God is, what God is doing, what He wants to do in us, where we are spiritually. All of these things should be on the forefront of our mind and we should be paying attention to it. This is how you redeem the time. This is how you take advantage of what's going on in your life when you're awake. And then are we honestly serving others or are we serving ourselves? When I'm redeeming the time, what I want to do is to make sure that the needs of the people around me are met, not just my own. In fact, my own are last. And the cool part about that is if I'm doing that for all of you and all of you are making sure that everybody else's needs are met, guess what? My needs are going to be met with me even never having to look at it. Because you're going to be concentrated on me as I'm concentrated on you as we're concentrated on each other. So we have to begin redeeming the time. We've got to do a better job at being a community of believers, of reaching out. But let's do it even more than just reaching out to each other. Let's open those doors and let's get out and reach the community. Let's figure out how we can take time to impact our community for the cause of Christ the best that we can. In our Go group this past Friday night, I loved the conversation that we were having because it came to the place of they want to get together and go serve somewhere. I didn't even have to bring that up, which is fantastic. They came up with that idea. To me, that's redeeming the time that we have. We don't always have to meet just as a group. We can actually go serve somebody else. In your own family, figure out what you can do in your neighborhood. Figure out what you can do in a local store nearby, what you can do for a local mission. As a family group, as a husband and wife team, as a church together, all of this stuff is opportunities and we need to be looking for them. And then, if you look at the first part of that, I've always loved this verse. Can you go back to the verse real quick? Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. It's back down at the bottom. If you look at it, it says, walk circumspectly. And when I use this verse and I talk to the teens, I always mess around and I said, that means you should walk like this as you're walking through the day because you got to see all the way around you all that's going on, right? Because that's the idea. That's what it's talking about. Circumspectly means all the way around you. So many times we as believers get dead set on one thing, and that's the only thing we're staring at. Paul says, no, 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 no. Because when you are a one-track mind, you will miss the outside opportunities to redeem the time for the cause of Christ. Pay attention to what's going on. Open your ears. Open your eyes. Say a little prayer before you go to work. God, help me to hear and see where you're at work, and give me the courage to go and do it. That's redeeming the time, folks. Don't wait till you come here to try to experience God. Experience Him out in the real world as well. Take advantage of what He wants to do in your heart and in your life. That's what we're looking for. So we want your time. We want to know that you are spending your time effectively, not only to grow your own relationship, but to impact somebody else. So the second thing that we want to look at, the second important T is this, your talent. And again, we haven't even got to treasure yet, right? We haven't got to your money at all. All we want is your time and your abilities, your talent. God created all of us with certain abilities and talents to be used for His glory. There are things that I never thought I was going to be able to do that God has unearthed as I've grown and I've learned and I've been willing to redeem my time with Him. And He has created in me an opportunity to speak. And if you would have asked me when I was in college, I actually skipped. I made sure somehow, some way, I could take a different class where I did not have to take speech class. That's how much I hated speaking in front of people. I was a nervous wreck. It was not who I was. And yet God knew later down the road is what I was going to do. And so He just took His time making me into what He wants me to be, and now you're stuck with me. Watch it. So it's all about taking a quick look at who you are and allowing God to begin digging and pulling away the talents that He's embedded within each of you. And I firmly believe that in each of our hearts and each of our genetic makeup, God has blessed us with abilities that we don't even know yet. And the only way that they begin to come out is if we start redeeming our time and figuring out who God is and having a proper focus of who He is. And when we can do that, these talents just start bubbling out. And that's the cool part about all of this. Each and every one of you, I promise you, regardless of how talented you think you are, has something to offer God right where you're at. And it's something that can be offered even in this place and especially outside of these doors to impact people for Christ. And I guarantee you some of y'all are thinking, nah, I can't do that. I can't speak like you speak, or I can't sing like some people sing, and I can't draw like some people draw, and I can't paint like some people paint, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. And you might be absolutely totally right. You may not, because there's lots of things I can't do as well as other people. But I can tell you this, when you completely surrender and say, God, I will do whatever you want me to do, that's all He's waiting for. That's when He starts unpacking. And let me tell you something, He doesn't throw you up on the stage right off the bat. He takes His time in working you, in molding you, in chipping away the rough edges, because I had a bunch. It took Him 10 years to get me to this place. So it takes time. He's not going to throw you out there without preparing you to do what He geared you up to do in the first place. But here's the trick. It's a matter of whether you're willing to actually do something with it and about it. So we as a church, as your team and as your spiritual advisors, what we want to do is we want to challenge you in such a way that not only do we want your time here, but we want you to expose the talent that God has blessed you with. Let's look at some scripture. Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew 25, it's a parable of the talents. So here's where it starts. Verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with him. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, look, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. What an interesting story, and so many times we think this is about money again, and I don't believe that it is. I think it's talking about the things that God has blessed us with. I believe it's talking about the talents that he's hidden within us, and we have a responsibility to figure out what those talents are and go and do something with them. And as you can see, there are three different guys that received three different amounts. And so many times we get caught up with, well, I'm not the guy with the 5 talents, I'm only the guy with the 2 talents. So I'm not as special to God. And you miss the entire point of the story. Each and every one of us are going to have a different amount of talent. Some of you may be a 5-bagger. Some of you may only be a 2-bagger. And some of you may only be a 1-bagger. And it doesn't matter. The great part is you have a talent. And the interesting part about it is each time the Lord did not say, well, you did more work because you doubled the bigger talent. And you only had 2 talents. You did a lot of work, but you didn't do as much as the guy with the 5 talents. Right? It was the same every single time. Same response, same question, same requirement. And you that are sitting there that are thinking, well, I don't have much to offer God. You're right, you may not, but God gave you something to offer. And it is our responsibility to figure out what that is and do something with it. So let's look at some points. Number one, God has given something to all of us. I firmly believe that with all of my heart. I know that to be true. Each and every one of us have something to be offered, even if it's nothing than standing back there at the door shaking hands when you go out. Maybe you have the best smile and the best handshake. Maybe your responsibility is taking out the trash because you take out the trash better than anybody. And I know that's silly and we can laugh about that, but why can't that be something? We trivialize the junk jobs because it's not glamorous, it's not cool in the world's eyes. But maybe you just have a servant's heart that's willing to do the junk jobs. And that's a talent of yours. You're willing to do the dirty work. That's cool to me. And whether that's 5 talents, 2 talents, or 1 talent does not matter to me. The fact is you're taking your talent and you're doing something with it because God has given something to all of us. Some of you may be great painters. Some of you may be great vacuumers. Some of you may be great working with kids. Some of you may be great handshakers. Some of you may be able to click the button on the computer and keep all that going. Some of you may be able to come in and straighten the chairs up. That's 2 Sundays in a row I've said that, so that's important. My point is, it should not matter how you feel about your talent. It should matter that you be honored that God gave you something to do. Go do it. That's the important part. It doesn't matter how big or small it is. It doesn't matter how glamorous or unglamorous it is. Just go do it. Because here's the thing. It is not about your glory when it comes to this stuff. It is not about the pats on the back or the little awards that we give or being recognized. It is about honoring God with how he has blessed your life to be able to do certain things. That's important to me. Here's the second thing that I notice in this passage. We all have the same requirement. Each one of those guys, as they receive their different amounts of talent, had the same requirement. Go do something with it. Right? Never did the Lord say, well, you need to double this, or you need to triple it, or you need to work harder than this guy because he's got more talent than you do, so you got to triple yours to keep up with him. Never did he say that. He just simply said, here's my talents. Take care of it. And these guys actually did that. They took what their Lord gave them and they multiplied it. They doubled it. They increased it. And let me tell you something, folks. God has blessed you with something. I know I keep saying that, but hopefully after the 6th or 7th time I say it, it's going to register with you because each and every one of you has something to offer God in this place. And we want you to be on your knees before him, opening your heart and your life to him, saying, I'm giving you my time. I want to know my talent because I want to redeem the time and make it useful to you, God. I want to do something with it because that's the requirement. And here's the third thing. There should be a return on the investment. We see really quick, that the Lord was very, very pleased with the two that brought a return in their investment. And the one that did not, the one that hid their talent, that said, nope, I'm going to protect it. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to make my Lord mad because I'm not good enough to watch over it. The Lord was very displeased with him. Because that servant took it upon himself to analyze what he had and to make a decision thinking that it would please his Lord instead of just doing what he knew he should do. And if you think about it even more, this guy did know his master, but not well enough. I mean, he talks about, yes, I knew you were a hard man and you do this and that, but he didn't understand his master. So we can say that we know God all that we want, but do you really understand what God is looking for? Do you really understand what he wants to do in your heart and in your life and why he gave you that talent? Do we really get it? Do we really put it to motion what we are supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to be impacting our community for the cause of Christ and not for our own? It's a big difference for us. It's our responsibility to act on it, and the return will come. It's not our responsibility to make the return. It's our responsibility just to do the job, and the return will just happen. And then lastly, thirdly, our treasure. So we've got our time, our talent, and what you've all been waiting for is your treasure. But it's not the treasure you're thinking. Because most of you see treasure and you automatically think what? Thank you. Gold, money. That's not really all that it's talking about. It's not just about our money. And this is not just in reference to your money, but all that you have. All that you have. Your treasure or all your stuff. It's not just the money. It's all your things. All of it's God's anyway. Think about it. God blessed you with the money to be able to buy the stuff. Well, how'd you get the money? Well, he blessed you with a job. Well, how'd you get the job? Well, he blessed you with some education, or maybe not. Maybe just some common sense. Well, how'd you get the common sense or the education? Well, God blessed you with a brain that he created you with to be able to think through things. It always points back to him every single time. We can play the game of I do this and I do that. You do nothing apart from him. Sorry. It's all him anyway. And so when we think about this treasure principle, we have to understand that this is about God and what he is requiring and what he's looking for. So here's some things that we need to be thinking about. This whole treasure principle, this tithing principle, was set up way back in the Old Testament as a 10% give of what they had. And even Malachi talks about bring it to the storehouse, bring it in, bring it to where it needs to be. And so this is not just some New Testament principle. This is all the way back. This is how they perpetuate the growth of the church. Secondly, this is the one that's hard for a lot of us because we see a lot of abuse with this, but this is honestly how the priests were taken care of. Let's be honest and real. Your money pays my salary. In case you didn't know, you go work hard, you come in and tithe, that is what we use to pay me. And so I appreciate it. And I don't preach about tithing to make sure I get a paycheck. I preach about tithing because it's biblically the thing that we're supposed to do. And then we as a group decide how to best spend that money. You have full say into how much I get and how much I don't get, how much Charlie gets and how much Tim gets, and how much we spend on electric. You have full say in that. So this is a group effort. This is not a controlled by the pastor, I get all my money. So I want to make that clear. But that is how it was set up for the priests. They didn't have a job. They stayed in the temple all the time. That's what they did. And so they had to be able to eat. Well, to be able to eat, you got to have money to buy the food because they didn't have time to go farm. And so the tithe, the portion of the sacrifices that people brought, it was a portion that went to the priest to sustain their living, to be able to do the job that they're doing. And let me tell you something. I recognize how hard it is to earn a dollar. I know it's hard for you guys, and so I appreciate your tithes. I appreciate you giving a portion of your hard-earned cash to make this place go and do what it needs to do. And this is the most awkward sermon ever. It's just awkward to talk about, but listen, I don't shy away from things that are awkward. It's the white elephant in the room that nobody ever wants to talk about, so let's talk about it. It's how it works. It's the system of the way that it goes. And so thirdly, Jesus loved the widow who gave from her heart and not from her abundance. I just think it's interesting as she's bringing in, you've got these big guys up there boasting of all the money that they're throwing in, and this little lady walks up with the last two mites and just throws it in. And Jesus says, she gave more than anybody. So again, it's not about your money, because that's what we want to make it about. It's about the attitude of your heart. It's the attitude of where you're at as you're giving. And I'm going to be super honest with you. If you have a bad attitude giving your tithe, keep it. Keep it. God's not going to bless that. Wait till your attitude is right and correct, and then give. God wants to see the cheerful giver. In fact, in Acts chapter 2 and in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, we see that. And if we were to go to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, here's portions of what it says. It's not on there, Mary, so don't stress about that. I added this last minute, sorry. It says this, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." You know what that tells me? You give as you feel impressed to give. Give it with the right heart and with the right attitude, and God's going to meet your needs, not your wants and not the needs that you think that are needs, because sometimes those needs are wants. But God will make sure that you are taken care of as you give of your treasure. And again, this treasure thing goes a lot with what we talked about last week of, you know what, I got tools. That's my treasures. Come get them. Come use them. My responsibility is not to hoard all my treasures in my house. It is to say with open arms, if you need something, come and borrow it. That's what a community of believers do. That's what the whole story of Acts chapter 2 was all about. And so when God is looking at us as believers and as followers of Him, He is not looking at us to be very stoic and very reserved and not friendly and not doing anything for Him. He is looking for our time to redeem it, to be useful to Him, to the growing of His kingdom. He is looking for our talent. He is looking for us to be on our knees asking Him, what can I do for you based on how you have created me? What am I not seeing? What am I missing? Help me do something. And He's just waiting for you to say that. But let me tell you, if you pray it, you better mean it, because when He starts, He does not stop. But the cool thing is as He starts and as He begins working in your life, it'll be so amazing, you won't want Him to stop. So we've got our time, we've got our talent, and we've got our treasure. And our treasure is not just about your tithes. And again, let's be real. Our tithes are what keep this place going. It is vital and important. But God wants you to give with the right heart and with the right attitude. But it's not just about your money. It is also about the treasures of your heart. It is about your gifts, your stuff, the things, your opportunities. He wants it all. And so here is the second main tenet of our membership statements. The thing that we are looking for more than anything else is this. I will live generously by giving of my time, talent, and treasure. Not only will I actively participate in the activities of the church, but I will live generously. I will give generously. Not just give because I have to or because the pastor preaches on it or because I feel like I need to. I will give generously. Generously means I'm going to give with a wonderful heart, with a great attitude of my time, which we're always looking for volunteers. We still need kids volunteers. We still need other volunteers. I will give of my talent. Some of you are very, very talented and you're just holding it all in. Be careful with that. Don't be like the one servant that buried it and never let it come out. And then your treasure. You got stuff. Live generously with it. Give generously. When we have projects here at the church, if you can give generously, give generously. Don't hold it back. Take the opportunity to move the kingdom of God forward. You have my word. We will make decisions and do things here that are not just fluff, but for a good cause, for a good reason, and they will be done excellent. It will not be a waste. So this morning, maybe for you, the treasure part's easy. You're a tither, you've been a tither all your life, and that's not a big deal for you, but maybe the time or talent is trouble for you. Would you be willing this morning just to say, God, I really need help with that. I only give my Sunday morning and my Wednesday night, and that's it, but I want to give more of my time. Or God, I have this talent that's hiding within me and I don't know quite what it is, but I think I know what it is and I don't know how it can fit in the church, but God, I'm willing to use it if I can use it. Would you just ask Him this morning to reveal that to you, to encourage you to see how you can use it? And then maybe tithing is a struggle for you. 10% obviously is the goal that we want you to be at, but maybe you got to start at 2. Maybe you got to start at 5 or 7. Whatever you got to start at, start at. Start that's what's comfortable for you. And maybe you've never tithed ever. Try it. Try it and just see what happens. Give with a generous heart, with a cheerful heart, and see what God can do with that. Or maybe you have stuff that you need to live a little more generously with. Maybe you have a Toyota Tacoma that you want to let me drive. Thank you for laughing. I don't want this to be so stifling and so serious that it's cumbersome, but it's serious stuff, man. And again, this is not just stuff for our church. This is what God is looking for. This is scripture. This is avenues and attitudes of our heart that should be there every single day of our life. I shouldn't have to preach a sermon on use your talents for God. I shouldn't have to talk about, hey, use your time wisely for the Lord. And I should always have to say tithe. Just kidding. Ooh, no laugh on that one. Let's pray this morning. God, I thank you for your heart. And I thank you for your passion for us and how you desperately seek us out every day. And Lord, I love the truth of the matter that you have created us specifically to bring glory and honor to you. And so help us today to redeem the time. And for those of us that are doing a poor job of that, I pray that you would throw up a red flag on those things that we are wasting time with. And help us to know how to maneuver around those things to rid them of our lives. And Lord, maybe it's our talent. Maybe it's hiding in there and we are struggling to figure it out. Or maybe we know exactly what it is and we are scared to death to use it. But give us the confidence, God, to know that you have a plan for it and you want to use that in our lives. And Lord, when it comes to treasure, we always automatically go to money. And that is so hard for us because we work hard for our money. But Lord, if we can have the proper focus of what you're trying to do and why we're here and what's going on around us, God, help it to shift our focus into trying to only take care of our own needs to being generous givers. But not just of our money, but of our stuff as well. Lord, we can't take it with us, but we can take souls with us. So may we use it properly to influence other people that you may have an opportunity to impact their life to where they can go to heaven with us. Thank you for those that are here. Thank you for those that are responding in their own hearts and in their own minds, knowing the things that they need to work on. I pray, God, that you would give them vision to see what it is, but the courage to make the decisions, to make the change, and walk with them through this life. We love you, we praise you, and thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming today. Have a great, cold day.